This is Jennifer Kennedy, the lead for quality at CHAP, and I'm here again to talk about age-friendly care. This is the third podcast in our series, and I'm sure there'll be more. The fun part for me is that I am not the host again for this podcast. I have my colleague, Denise Stanford, who is actually going to sit in the host chair today. How are you doing, Denise?
I'm doing great. And it's so fun to get to be the host on your podcast and be here with you. I don't know if I ever really introduced myself in our podcasts. I'm the executive director of our Center for Excellence, and I've been one of the project managers on the Age Friendly Care at Home project for what feels like a really long time. But really, we've been working on this very steadily over the last 12 months. So I'm so excited to see us get to this place, and I'm excited to be with you here today.
Yeah, you know, I just joined the project a year ago when I came on board with CHAP, but I can't imagine, you know, starting from ground zero, or what this looked like, or where you, how you're going to figure out where you're going to go. But it's exciting now to be where we're at in this project, because we're getting this much closer to actually giving providers those tools that they need to actually apply age-friendly care in all the touches that they make out there for patient care.
Yep. This, when I first started, this was just a concept, and now actually seeing it come to fruition and be something that we can actually recognize our customers for doing is a huge achievement. And there's been so many people behind this effort that, including yourself, obviously building these standards and these educational modules, that it's really fun to be where we're at right now.
It really is. And, you know, this may seem like a whole new concept to a lot of people listening out there. For me, I was like, age-friendly care, what does that mean? And, you know, having, heard about it, read about it, I've now come to an understanding that we need to apply this, yes, for older adults, 65 years and older. That's originally what the age-friendly care systems was meant to do. But we should be applying age-friendly care to everybody who receives care. It doesn't matter what age you are. You know, it really levels up the quality of care that you're providing for patients and families.
Right, right. Yeah, this might be geared towards older adults or the original concept, but you're absolutely right. It's important to every patient, no matter what their age is, that the care they're being provided is appropriate for them and really takes these four M's into consideration. So today, our episode, we're really going to talk about the value of a program like this that really ties right into what we were just saying. But can you remind us a little bit as we move into this, what those four M's are and how they're really used as a set?
Yeah, absolutely. So the framework for age-friendly care are the four M's. And they are what matters to the patient, medications, mobility, and mentation. And these four M's are practiced and applied as a set. They were developed to be evidence-based. And when used consistently, they serve as a way to promote consistent quality care for that individual in a lot of different areas. We mentioned, you know, mobility, medications, but it really it expands the whole view of this patient and attaching it back to what do they want, what is important to them, what do they want to happen in this care experience, and everything else then is launched from that.
That's awesome. So talk me through a little bit of what the value prop is for age-friendly care at home.
Yeah. So if you're an organization that is saying, maybe you listen to the other two podcasts and you say, well, this is interesting, but what kind of value am I going to get out of this if I decide that I'm going to take the plunge and jump into the age-friendly care pool? Well, we know that, you know, everybody in the healthcare system is coming in their view, is coming to the healthcare continuum as a unique patient. So we have to treat them as a unique patient. We can't just say, you are the, it used to be, God, that's a long time, I'm going to date myself, the gallbladder in room six, or the hip replacement on Main Street. You know, it's not that kind of mentality anymore. People want to be individualized, and they want a unique experience based on their unique person. So having this kind of age approach, particularly for older adults, 65 years and older, opens up the door for shared decision making. And it provides, as I mentioned, that evidence-based methodology to consistently not only address what matters to them and connecting the dots in those other 4M areas, but also being able to measure what matters to that patient. We've said before that this is the next level of person-centered care, and I truly believe that it pushes the application of patient-centered care down another level, where you're having to engage with that patient in a way that maybe you haven't done before. We need to make sure that patients feel heard, that they are participating in decision-making about their care and what happens to them, and that they have the best possible experience that they can have, whether it's a hospital stay or whether they have a home health a team coming to see them, or whether they're at end of life. So when we're talking about value, it's leveling your or pushing down on your patient-centered care to improve the patient care experience, which will in turn impact your CAP scores. It will ensure shared decision-making and collaborative goal setting as part of that experience. And it should really raise the profile of your organization as it relates to partnering out in the community.
Yeah. You know, we have talked in our other episodes about the primary goal in healthcare and as a healthcare provider is always to provide the best care to patients as possible. But we can't overlook that this does require effort. And so there does need to be some other measures of success for a program like this. And really adding on this certification for an organization is absolutely going to highlight that you're taking this very seriously, and that you want that recognition of how seriously you take patient-centered care by utilizing this age-friendly model.
Absolutely. I mean, it's showing that you have made a commitment to quality, in my mind. And the beauty of the 4M framework is that it's not something extra that you have to do. Clinicians are already completing assessments and completing care planning with patients. It's just looking at it from it's shifting your perspective and how you do those things that you do for patients already. It's not, oh my gosh, now we're going to do age-friendly care. It's a whole nother initiative. It really isn't in terms of a patient care. It's shifting how you do it, looking at it with a different type of lens, but you're already doing these things as clinicians and providers.
Yeah, it's not extra work.
It's not extra work. It's better work.
It's better work. I love that. That's a great way of looking at it. So a little bit more on the business case. Tell us, what is the business case for this model, for this framework?
So I think we talked a lot about, you know, clinicians and the value to patients, but there has to be value to the organization, right? So when we think about the value and the business case, there for organizations or systems that have already implemented age-friendly care systems, they have seen improved operational efficiency. They've seen a reduction in waste and cost by shifting gears and using this age-friendly care lens. There are systems that have seen their patient outcomes and patient satisfaction scores rise and improve by the application of this framework. And when we look at strategic planning, we know that if you are keeping the patient as your center for strategic planning, that we need reliable business operations in order to make that happen. And as I said, if we have operational efficiencies that are achieved by using age-friendly care, that would help add to your strategic planning in terms of where do you want to go after you make this integration of age-friendly care into your organization. You're going to be able to measure another value plus for not only partnering, but also for referrals and patients. It gives you another good quality metric in your quality bank, if you will, in terms of value. And I think we mentioned this before, Denise, is that there's no organization that's not out and about looking for partner opportunities right now. So again, if you can say, hey, look, we have made the commitment to quality and we sought age-friendly care certification, wouldn't that look attractive to a payer? Wouldn't that look attractive to a referral partner or another type of partnership that you're trying to find out in the community?
Yeah. I also love this idea that you'll have more satisfied clinicians with a model like this as well. Staffing has been such a huge issue over the last 2 years. So really retaining your staff that you have, attracting new staff, and hopefully helping them strike that work-life balance and feel reward in their work. A model like this is shown to improve that from a staff perspective. So I love that concept.
Yeah, that's really a plus. This is a tough time for healthcare staffing right now. I can only speak from my experience, but as a clinician, seeing that I help someone achieve what they wanted to achieve makes you feel good. It makes you feel like, hey, I went into healthcare for a reason, and it's the validation that you get back when that happens with a patient and a family, right?
Yeah.
So I love that idea. If you have patients that achieve their goals and they're going to be happier with the outcome, that in turn should affect the clinicians that are providing the care to that patient and family.
Yep. And the other thing is I wanted to just share with our listeners is in episode one, we mentioned that we have, in addition to this podcast version, all three of these podcasts actually coincide with some mini learning modules that are just 20-minute on-demand courses that really cover everything we're covering and then a little bit more. And one of the resources included in our module three is the business case for this, which was developed by the IHI. So it's a pretty robust resource that our customers can really, you know, download and dive into to get a bigger system idea about the business case for age-friendly care.
It's a really good resource. It does take a sit down to sort of go through it, but it's very straightforward and it does map out all of the value from a business standpoint that an organization can reap.
Not podcast material.
Not podcast material, my friend.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the potential impact of implementing age-friendly care. Can you walk us through a few of these ideas?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we talk about the starting point, what matters. By just asking that question, you're already impacting not only the psychological and emotional piece of a patient, but we can, by continuously asking what matters and then acting upon it, have an effect on physical outcomes as well. So it's, you know, no system is not connected in the body, so and person-centered. So when we look at just asking what matters, it can improve psychological, physiological, and emotional, and even spiritual outcomes if that's something that matters to the patient and we can help with. So definite impact just from that base foundational point. And I love that. I love even just, we could stop right there as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, when we extend out and connect those dots with medication and mobility and mentation, we're looking at assessment and then acting upon. So if we identify cognitive impairment early or somewhat early, then we can think about what can we do to treat it. We can put interventions in place that work with that patient and family to mitigate fall risk and further deterioration, and focusing on building up the strength and the positives that that patient has in mentation and mobility. It puts the team in a proactive position rather than a reactive position. And that's, you know, in my thinking, that's the best place you always want to be, is what could possibly happen. And we want to proactively be able to react to it, and then really ensure better outcomes rather than going, uh-oh, the patient fell. Now what are we going to do? Now they have to have a hip replacement, whatever, you know, whatever the outcome might be.
Right.
So this works. We've seen this happen in age-friendly care systems that have already been established since 2018. Having this kind of an approach works.
I think it's great to just acknowledge that this isn't a new concept. It has been being utilized and implemented in hospital systems since 2018. So we do have evidence to back up and support this model in really improving patient outcomes and improving quality of care.
Absolutely. You know, we have data, we have research, and, you know, even though it's been 6 years, it's kind of still early days, but we have enough data from implementation where we can say there's been impact. There is data to support that. And that's the coolest thing, is that now we can take this approach and this idea and move it out into home-based care.
Yep. So we're pretty excited to be doing that right now. And speaking of that, we talked in our last episode about what CHAP is really doing, providing this age-friendly certification in addition to accreditation. So for us, we're really starting piloting this in January or early first quarter of 2023. And then we should be launching this to all of our customers post-pilot in the second quarter of 2023. It'll be something you can add on to either a renewal or an initial application for accreditation. And it will just be an integrated part of the survey. So once again, not extra work, not something we're doing special surveys for. It'll just be something that is part of the regular survey process.
That's such a great way to put it, because it's integrated, right? Age-friendly care is integrated into daily operations, daily patient care. It's not an extra lift that an organization has to do. There is some prep. Yes, you have to do some education. But if you adopt that into your quality culture of your organization, it doesn't become an extra heavy lift. It just becomes part of making care better.
That's awesome. Well, again, I want to thank you for letting me pirate your podcast and interview you. And then I also just want to let our listeners know that we do want to hear from them and their ideas, and we want to know what else they want to know about age-friendly care. So they could email us. Our email address is education@chapinc.org with any ideas or commentary or feedback. We'd absolutely love to hear from you. We want to develop things that you need in order to implement this. So please let us know. And Jennifer, thank you again so much for letting me be on your show.
No, it's been my pleasure. And talking about age-friendly care really gets me excited. And I'm hoping all of the listeners out there will at least look at our modules and learn about age-friendly care and start to take the journey with us. So exciting days ahead, Denise.
Absolutely. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Thanks for all you do.